Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Thursday, October 10th, 2024. Today we are reading in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter We Agnostics on page 52, reading the second paragraph starting with We had to ask ourselves, going through that one paragraph ending in, of course it was. Today's readers are, and thank you for Team Thursday Service, Katie G, Anne Marie M, Martha Z, our 12 Steps reader, Jackie D, 12 Traditions, Joni D, Reva P is the newcomer greeter, and Christine G is our host for the second awesome unrecorded hour. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, October 9th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 21,813. That's 21813. And for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 21,814. That's 21814. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover. Through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Jackie D. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Jackie.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jackie D. from Georgia. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching, fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so injured them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and thank you for your service, Amy, and I pass.
Thank you, Jackie. All righty. Now asking Joni D. to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Joni.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never finance or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Joni C. I apologize. I keep saying D. So Joni C., reading the 12 traditions. Thank you very much. Okie dokie, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear me say time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Again, this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study. We are in the chapter We Agnostics on page 52, the second paragraph, and I'm going to ask Katie G. to get us started. Grab the mic, girl. Let's go.
Hey, Amy, thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Boston. We had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change point of view. We were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were a prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. Was not a basic solution of these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight? Of course it was. So this paragraph is fondly known as a bedevilment paragraph. Bedevilment means harassing, tormenting, unwelcoming, intrusions. And what it is, these are symptoms of my spiritual malady. And I want to share something that I've been taught on how to read this, because you'll notice that this has nothing to do with the food. I am having trouble with personal relationships, abstinent. I can't control my emotional natures, abstinent. I am prey to worry and depression, misery. Abstinent. I can't make a living. Abstinent. I have a feeling of uselessness. Abstinent. I am full of fear. Abstinent. I am unhappy. Abstinent. I can't be of real help to other people. Abstinent.
The reason I want to point this out is because for the first 10 years in Overeaters Anonymous, I thought getting thin and being abstinent was my solution. But I'll tell you what, when I'm sober and I don't have God, my personal relationships, I'm holding hostage. I have no control of my emotional natures. I remember one time being so angry at my then boyfriend, I slammed pots in my kitchen. I am prey like an animal to misery and depression, just oozing self-pity, right? I can't make a living, or if I can, if I get a job, I'm fired from it four times, or I don't have meaningful work. I'm barely getting by. I have that feeling of uselessness, like I don't have a purpose. I'm full of fear. I have to tell you, my first memories were not of food. They were of fear. I am unhappy with anything, even if something good happens to me, and I can't be of real help to others. So what happens? These 12 steps are meant to uncover, discover, and discard everything so that I can find the most beautiful thing in the world, which is that deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. The great reality deep down within, it is only there that God can be found. So where can I find God? Deep down inside. When can I find him? Now. You know, as a recovered woman, there are times that I do a bedevilment inventory and I can see that I'm stuck in personal relations or misery and depression. But thanks be to God, because of these 12 steps, I am trained like Pavlov's dog to ask God at once to remove it, make amends, discuss it with someone immediately, amends, and throwing myself into helping others. So if you're miserable and you're abstinent only, hang on to your socks, because there is a solution that is so phenomenal. He will change your entire life. And it's all about these 12 steps and the miraculous God. And with that, I pass. Amy, we can't hear you.
Oh, sorry. Thank you so much, y'all. Wow, Katie, way to get us started. All righty, Katie G from Massachusetts. So let's hear from some more people. And although we value your experience, strength, and hope, we ask that if you've shared in the last couple of days, namely Tuesday or Wednesday, that you step aside so we can hear others' experience, strength, and hope. So who would like to share?
Kelly S.
Harlan G.
Riska R.
Kathy S.
Christina
Jen
J.
A.
Harlan.
All right, got Harlan G, Kelly S, Rivka, I think it was.
Reva P.
And Reva, who else
M.
spoke?
Kathy
and
A.
And Kathy S.
Did you get Christina J?
No, okay, so Kathy S, Christina J. Okay. All right, so
Jen
I've
A.
got Kelly. Who?
Jen A.
Jen, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Thank
All
you.
All right, so here's what I've got. Kelly, Harlan, Rivka, Reva, Anne-Marie, Kelly S., Christina J., Jen A. Was Rivka there? I thought I heard her,
yeah.
But I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
I'm here.
Gotcha. All right, so I think that's a great group. Did I miss anyone else who spoke up the first time? Okay. Thanks, everyone. That was great. All right, Kelly S., you're up, followed by Harlan G. Go ahead, Kelly.
Hey, Amy. Thanks so much for taking the meeting. It is Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater in bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Wow, Katie, thank you for an amazing opening share. That was beautiful. Said a lot of things that I wanted to touch on. And, you know, I shared this last week that really only half of the steps are about the food and the behaviors. The 11 and a half remaining steps are about my unmanageability and these bedevilments. And that's what I had a hard time coming to grips with. You know, I came in because I had a food problem. I had a weight problem. I don't know about you guys, but I just, you know, I had over 100 pounds to lose and I was binging and purging so many times a day. And that was my goal, right? It took me decades to understand that the unmanageability was that spiritual malady that was shared. That's my issue, right? And here it talks about all these things, and Katie shared that about inabstinence too. because I was like, well, I'm in relationships. I have a job, right? I'm showing up and doing things for people. I'm codependent as hell, so I'll do anything for anybody, right? But I wasn't happy. I wasn't free. I had no peace. Right? And I was miserable. Of course, I was miserable in the food. And, you know, as they say, I wasn't truly living. I was merely existing. And that's what truly brought me to my bottom, was I was getting up every day just miserable, miserable. Not just like, what am I going to wear today? What's going to fit? But is this the point? It wasn't like I was suicidal, but it was like, I'm just going in these motions and I'm just going to die. What is the point of life, right? I've been in these rooms for decades. I tried everything. And it says here, you know, was not a basic solution of these bedevilments more important? Well, it doesn't say a basic solution for my weight or my eating. It's for the way I was living life. I always had trouble in personal relations. You know, I can't even tell you. I mean, Katie touched on it. I just couldn't begin to tell you. My emotional natures, I've struggled with depression, anxiety, panic, fear, you name it, my entire life. I, too, was like that. I said I've always felt different. Even before I got into the food, I had a feelings issue. You know, misery, depression. You know, yeah, I had a job, but was I being a true service to my fellow? Was I happy? No. None of these. I was full of fear. It's our evil and corroding thread. So I had to understand, truly come to grips. My unmanageability drove me to my knees, my depression, my fear. These bedevilments that we can live in abstinence, and I wanted a way out of that. And the only way to do that, yes, I have to put down the food, but I have to work these steps so I can uncover all that stuff so I can get to this God that is deep down within. God was so blocked. I couldn't see God. I thought there was no God, but he was there all along. So these steps do help me to clean up that so I can get to this relationship, because it's the only way that I can find all these promises that this book promises, that you guys promise. And with that, I pass. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, Kelly S. from Oklahoma. All right, Harlan G., you're up.
Thank you very much, Amy. Thank you for your service. And, boy, these are going to be tough acts to follow. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Scottsdale, Arizona. You know, somebody very wise said to me 45 years ago when I first came in here, they said, if all the food did was make you fat, it would be something different than reality. Because the reality is the food putrefied and committed arson and vandalism to every part of my life. I was a laughingstock. I was a butt of jokes. When I would walk down the street or I would go into a store or a public place, children would laugh at me. I was not put on this earth to be a laughingstock, but yet there I was, and I had to pretend that it didn't bother me. People coming up to me and slapping my stomach and slapping my butt and grabbing me and grabbing my fat, I had to pretend that it didn't bother me. And on the inside, I was crying and dying. The bedevilments, the things that torment and harass me. I was having trouble with my personal relationships. You bet I was. I was a manipulator. I was scared to death of the world. I wasn't functioning at any level that was adult. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were a prey to misery and depression. Add in fear, terror, whatever you want to put. I was scared of the world because the world sent me a very strong signal that because you're obese, you are existentially incorrect, you are unfit to live in our world, and we soundly reject you. Now, full of fear, unhappy, isn't this more important? Isn't a solution to these things more important than whether we should see absolute proof of God, absolute visual proof? Of course it was. And the more I trusted God, and the more my faith drew me closer to God, the more weight I lost, the more neutral to food I got, the better my life got. Yes, I have a good life today. Absolutely. Do I have disappointment and heartache in my life? Yes. Do I wish certain things in my life were different? Yes. But my life works today. My business works. I have my house. I have my car. But I can walk the street a free man. I don't owe anybody any money. I didn't write them a bad check or tell them a lie. With me, what you see is what you get. I haven't lied to you about being a Republican when I'm a Democrat or a Democrat when I'm a Republican just to get you to like me. I'm not engaging in image management. I am who I am, like Popeye the Sailor Man. I am what I am, and I feel great today, and I'm ready to embrace the day, and I'm ready to embrace God today, and God is ready to embrace me. So I'm part of this program, and I'm working this program, and I am living life to the fullest today because of 12 steps and the Alcoholics Anonymous. I am free of these things, and I've never felt better in my entire life. So with that, I will pass. Thank you very much, Amy, for your service.
Thank you, Harlan G. from Arizona. All right, fire shares. Let's keep it rolling. Rivka, you're up, followed by Reva. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much, Amy, for your service, and everybody for your shares. My gosh, amazing. It's Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. So this paragraph was actually the very first thing I ever heard in the big book. It was 1987. I was 33 years old. I had just reeled into the bathroom after a binge, and I fell against the wall, and my first thought was, oh, I'm just like an alcoholic. And I had been to OA twice before. Once when I was 16, I went to a meeting in San Diego. There were like 200 people there, and a woman was on the stage saying she was an alcoholic and a drug addict and a compulsive overeater, and I got terrified and I ran out. And another time I was 21, and I had moved to New York, and you know, they handed me a food plan, and I took one look at it, and I said, well, I could never do this, and I never went back, although I did buy a big book then, but I threw it out because I didn't want anyone to think I was an alcoholic. So after the bathroom incident, I called a friend who I knew was an OA, and I told her that I think I have a problem with food, and she told me she hadn't eaten chocolate chip cookies in 6 years, and I thought, well, I could never do that. But anyway, I went with her to a meeting, and there was not much recovery there, but some people talked about working the steps, and I had no idea what that meant, but I got a sponsor, and I started working the steps. Here's what that looked like. I knew I was powerless. I believed in God. I had no idea what the third step was, and for the fourth step, she told me to write my life history, which I did, and I read it to her over the phone, and she asked if I felt any different, and I said no, and that was the end of my working the steps, and I never opened a big book. But one meeting, a man showed up, and he took out the big book, and he started his share by reading this paragraph, and I was stunned. He was talking about me. I was having trouble with personal relationships. Yep, I couldn't control my emotional nature. Yep, I was prey to misery and depression. Yes, I couldn't make a living. Yes, I was full of fear and I wasn't happy. Yes, and I was stunned. And it struck me that there was a lot more here than being thin. And I wish I could say that my recovery took off from there and was a straight shot ever since. But, you know, even though I read the book many times since then and relate completely to everything in it, like, and I did work the steps, but I still held on to my self-centered glasses in many ways. Like, I didn't know how to abandon myself completely. There were things that I couldn't even say, like, thy will, not mine be done. I couldn't even say that. Like, I didn't know how to surrender. And it took me a long time to trust. And that's the operative word for me here. I learned that from seeing it demonstrated over and over by people on this line. And once I developed trust, I could surrender. And I could take off those self-centered glasses and put on God-centered glasses. And a whole new world and perspective came into view. And, it's just been amazing since then, really putting God front and center and making my recovery about my relationship with him and doing the work that I need to do, being abstinent and working the 12 steps and helping others, but God has to come first. So I'm so grateful to all of you for the relationship I have today, and thanks, I pass.
Thank you, timing. All right.
Hey, Rivka from Baltimore, Maryland. All right, Reva, you're up, followed by Anne-Marie. Please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Reva P., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. Yeah, you know why I'm excited to share about this paragraph? And thank you all for saying what I would have also said. because when I came in, I think the biggest lie or the thought that I thought was, if only I get the food under control, I'll be okay. Life will be fine. Everything's fine. It's just a food problem, right? So then I put down the food and I get abstinent and I ask myself these questions and I realize I'm miserable, abstinent. I don't get along with people, abstinent. And I'm thinking, this is the ism. This is the disease. This is the reason why I need power, because this is what I'm like, abstinent and supposedly in even recovery. I am tormented. I am disturbed. I am harassed by the isms of this disease. And I love that this paragraph is in past tense, because the people who wrote this book, it's past tense. And then I get to something like page 84, 85, where it's the opposite, where I work through the steps. How do I access power, right? I have to do the actions. I don't just like think my way into recovery. I don't just pray it away and God like magically, like somebody says, pixie dust and poof, I'm all happy. No, when I do the work, then I know that new freedom. Then I'm free of these things. And you know what? I have to be careful, because supposedly in recovery, I get disturbed and I start banging against people and situations, and I can go right back into these bedevilments. So this to me, you know, emphasizes I need power. I need it every day. This doesn't go away. This is the reason why I need the steps. So it's such a great reminder. It's sort of like pages 60 to 63. I can go there. I can go there if I don't keep spiritually fit and keep on growing and staying close to my higher power. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Reva P. from Toronto, Canada. All right, Anne-Marie M., you're up by Kathy S. Anne-Marie, please go ahead.
Thank you, Amy. This is Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina, recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace and mercy and working the big book, Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Yes, what I've heard so far this morning was all in the past tense, as well as it's written in the big book, as it was just mentioned. The people who have spoke before me, I know, have worked the steps, have gone through Alcoholics Anonymous and have a relationship with God, and now they can talk about this paragraph as if it's in the past tense. I too live in the nation. On page 84, they have top of page 84, they have the 9-step promises, and a couple of them are the opposite of what is written in the bedevilments. And so I too, I've lost interest in selfish things, and I've gained interest in my fellows due to my relationship with God. Self-seeking has slipped away. My attitude and outlook on life has changed. Fear of people and economic insecurity has left. And that is only because of God's grace and mercy, and because I have worked the steps in the big Alcoholics Anonymous and have become other-centered. So these devilments do not have to own me. I do not have to live like this anymore. And I have a choice today. Do I want to wake up in the problem? Or do I want to wake up looking to God as He wants me to do today? That's what I chose this morning anyway. As the day goes on, it might change. I might get into some fear. I might get into worry. However, today I know I have a choice. Today I can recognize that. That's a big deal for me, that I recognize when I'm in some fear. And God's grace, I have a choice. God's given me a solution. And I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much.
Anne-Marie M. from South Carolina. Before we go to Kathy S., just want to let folks know, in case you came in a little late, we are on page 52 in the chapter We Agnostics, the second paragraph. Going through that one paragraph. Okay, Kathy, you're up, followed by Christina J. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Amy. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. And yes, this paragraph is about the bedevilments and how this disease really manifested itself in my life. But what really stands out for me is that first sentence, why we shouldn't apply to our human problems, which are as the bedevilments that follow, the same readiness to change our point of view. Like we talked about yesterday, the technology, how I can discard that for the next iPhone so easily. But when it comes to my beliefs and my perspectives, I hold on to those and these old lies that I grew up with. And page 108 in the big book, it describes, you know, the world of alcoholism where everything is distorted and exaggerated. And if that doesn't describe my thinking very concisely, I don't know what else does. You know, I heard a podcast recently by Sandy B where he talked about, you know, my life has two parts. My story has two parts. What happened during the years I ate, drank, or during the years of my childhood, and what I thought happened during those years. There's always two sides. And that's the biggest thing that I've learned through this process of working through the steps is if I'm disturbed, it's because I'm looking at this event, this person, this situation or circumstance incorrectly. It all has to do with me and my perspective and my simple point of view. God has the whole view, the big picture. And if I can just stand back, you know, one of the greatest gifts of the 10th step for me is that is after I get done listing all this selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking and fear, I come to this statement where I look at, have I considered? And that's often where I will get like a God shot in a turnaround. Like, hey, have I ever thought of this? Like what it was like for them or, you know, that God makes all things possible or that God is in this. So I don't have to be afraid. And this is really this whole process, again, working these 12 steps and opening and like this whole chapter talks about setting aside our prejudice. It talks about our thinking. I have to continuously be open-minded. And that is what brings me to a better development of my dependence as well as my trust in God, who is love. He's not out to get me. He's not out to punish me. He's not out to teach me another lesson. But I am here to grow. And that growth, although I shirked from it before, it is my greatest blessing. All of my, quote, problems and the suffering has brought just blessing after blessing. And I'm just so grateful. So, yeah, thanks for letting me share. And I will pass with that.
Thank you so much, Kathy S. from Georgia. Christina J., you're up, followed by Jen A. Go ahead, Christina.
Morning, everyone. Christina J. in North Carolina. Look here. I didn't know I was in a jail cell of self. I didn't know. I was uncomfortable, but, you know, it took me until now, this last year, to see that I was walking around in internal misery for almost 65 years. I look back now and I cringe at where I was living. I was living in all these places this paragraph talks about. I didn't know, but I was uncomfortable inside. Something was driving me to the food. Something was driving me to all the diets to find a solution to the problem of uncomfortableness. And like someone shared, I thought if I just gave up the food, everything would be fixed. I would rearrange. But I didn't know. And I was constantly seeking a solution, a basic, remedy, but none of them worked. And to this day, I didn't know that I was in a jail cell of self-pity, that my point of view, I was living in my point of view, because I had a God, I believed in God, but there were so many things blocking it. Basically, my will and what I wanted to do in life was blocking God's presence in me. So here comes the big book. Here comes the big book and the solution to my eating, right? And it took me, I came into vision in 2014, it took me till recently to realize that the food died away now, and yet still, like someone else shared, I was still uncomfortable. What's the real problem? Me. Me. And what I think I need to get out of life. Now, I held on to that really hard through several years in vision. And recently I've realized that my life was not working. As I look back and see the way I was living my life, it was not working. And I had to surrender it all because I want happiness and peace. And today I have that. Here comes the big book to teach me not only about how to get it down, get the crap down, but then to really begin to look at my soul and my life and how to reconnect myself, how to recover myself. I didn't ever care about newsreels of the lunar flight. I was always reaching for the next best thing to try to fix myself without knowing that I was to fix the food, really. I didn't know. You know, it's so wonderful to know now and look back and cringe at the life I was living. And you know what? I think that God let me do all that stuff. You know, he can't stop me. Because he knew that I was going to learn from touching all the hot stoves. All the hot stoves. Believing in all the false gods of self. That's what it was. The false gods of self that kept me in all these places of misery, jealousy. I really wasn't making a living. I was trying to pursue my artistic career, believing that someday I'd be a rich person standing at the top of the hill and I could help people then. I can help people now because I've lived this crap. And today I'm embracing happiness and surrender. Love you all. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much.
Christina J., South Carolina. Okay, so we're going to have Jen A., and then we're going to take some more names of folks that would like to share. All right, Jen, please go ahead.
Thanks, Amy. Good morning to you. Thanks, friend, for taking the meeting. My name is Jen A. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic from Colorado. I love, love, love this paragraph. This paragraph saved my life. The man that read me this paragraph, my sponsor, really brought it alive for me. You know, he calls it the unmanageability inventory. And there's 9 questions that I get to ask myself. I take, you know, the different things in there and turn them around and ask myself, is my life unmanageable? You know, I admitted to myself that I was a compulsive overeater, but I couldn't see the unmanageability in my life, right? Because I was just numbing out with all the food and food behaviors. But when I started to really look at these questions, you know, he invited me in and he said, you know, how are your personal relationships? And I wrote on them. I wrote on my personal relationships when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, when I was a young adult. You know, I did the same thing with each one. Was I a prey to misery? Yeah. So I wrote about it in all the different stages of my life. And I began to see how much unmanageability was going on in my life. And I ate because my life was unmanageable. So when I put down the food, and welcome to the new cover, because I think this is a great paragraph if you want to look at it and just ask yourself, you know, like, okay, what is really going on with me? Because I couldn't see it until I got to this place on page 52. I think of unmanageability in my life today in these bedevilments in the movie Pinocchio. And Pinocchio is the puppet, and he's held by all the strings. That's all the things in his life that are holding him from being free. He couldn't be a real boy. He couldn't stand on his own 2 feet and run. He was falling down. He was clumsy. You know, he was lying. His nose was growing. Like, he was just, and he was held up in captivity, in bedevilment, right? And eventually he broke free of that, and he had no strings that were holding him down. And that's the beauty of it. That's what God does for me as a result of working these 12 steps. He gets me out of myself, out of my head, out of my problems, and he turns it around and he says, and I'm here. Let me help you in 6 and 7. Let me take these away from you. Don't let them hold you down anymore. Be free. And that's the beauty, like it's been said on page 83 and 84, are the promises that come true as a result.
but I have to tell you that I can live in the bedevilments as a recovered fellow on a day-to-day basis if I'm unhappy or living in fear about my job or depressed. So it works for me all the time to take this unmanageability inventory and examine myself over and over again through these 12 steps and taking it back to God. What an awesome meeting. Thank you, everyone, for your shares. I gained so much from it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much,
Jen A. All right. What a great start, y'all. So now we're going to take some more names. Again, if you've shared in the last couple of days, namely Tuesday or Wednesday, we ask that you step aside and let others share. We're on page 52, second paragraph. All right. Let's keep going. Who else would like to share?
Kendall M.
Jane S. Macy.
Jane S. in New Hampshire.
Kendall
M. Okay, hold on. I missed everybody at the front there because you all came in at
Jill M.
So,
Virginia.
Okay, so we've got Jill M. I got Maisie.
Jane S.
Who else?
Jane S.
Jana C.
Oh,
Jane.
Tony yes. B.
Tony B.
Nicole J.
Chris, was there another Christina? I heard of Christina there.
Kendall
Jana
M.
C.
in New Jersey.
Jelly
Kendall. Joanne P. Okay,
room
hold on
Anita.
One sec. Anita? Okay, I got you
yeah,
here. All right. Let's see. I don't know if we're going to get to everybody. I got Jill M., Maisie, Jane S., Tony B., Kendall, Joanne, Anita. Y'all could give me your last initial. Anita, I don't know. But let's see. Let's keep moving. Jill M., you're up, followed by Maisie.
Hi, I'm Jill M., compulsive overeater. Yeah, I really relate to this because I'm full of fear a lot. And I found the program is helpful to me because I can do step 10s now, you know, and it always points me back to higher power. Like, I need to trust my higher power more. And I don't know why, but I forget that for some reason. So I'm just grateful to be in OA and have the fellowship. Thank you very much.
Jill, where are you from? Jill M., where are you from? So we can't find you on the contact list.
Virginia.
Thank you, Jill. All right, Maisie, followed by Jane. Go ahead, Maisie.
Yes, can I be heard?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. This is Maisie C. from Massachusetts. Grateful to be here. And when I'm listening to all these beautiful shares, you know, it makes me realize I can get cocky and think, I got it. Yep, I've been 5 months absent. I got it all together. I don't. It was just proven to me yesterday. I had a falling out with my son, and it was terrible. I mean, he was drinking, and he was nasty, and I showed up. You know, that's not who I'm supposed to be today. You know, and when I hear all of you, the way you share, it's like, I don't have it at all. I really don't have it. It was all about the food, and I'm seeing this more and more. It's all about, okay, I'm losing weight. I've always been spiritually fit, so I thought, and I have a very close relationship with God, but my head is still full of junk. Even though the food is down and the weight is down, I'm still full of a lot of junk. And, you know, there's times I feel useless, as this says, you know, and I really don't have any problem with any other personal relationships. It's basically my son. But I know keep working, and I have to get stronger with the steps, with all the other stuff that goes along with being abstinent. It's not just about abstinent or food. It's about all the isms in my head, you know, all the craziness and all the turmoil and just whatever. I just see, you know, I get thinking I got this together, and then it's like, that's the furthest thing from the truth. I don't have it all together. But I'm glad the food is down. I've got a lot more work to do, and that's what I see. And I hear the growth in all of you, and I've got, I have to start. I don't make calls. I don't make calls. I used to years ago when I first came in. I've been in program for 24 years, And, you know, I heard go to 90 meetings in 90 days. I think I did 110 meetings in 90 days. And I made calls, but not as much as I should have. And today I do none. And I have to get motivated to just push. I'm busy, busy, busy doing this, that. I work two jobs, and I'm no spring chicken, but I'm, you know, I'm teachable today. I was not teachable in the past. I am, and I'm willing. I'm willing to be a step back and let God do for me what I can't do for myself. But I know today I can't say, well, it's okay because I got the food down. No, it's not okay just because I have the food down. It's not okay not to do the rest of the format, not to do the rest of the... Thank you so much. So I'm grateful to hear all these beautiful shares. Thank you so much. God bless you all.
Thank you, Maisie Z. C from Massachusetts. Okay, we've got Jane S. followed by Tony. Go ahead, Jane.
Yes, good morning, everybody. My name is Jane S. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Awesome. Thank you for your service. I'm Jane S. from New Hampshire. I'm currently hailing right now from Edgewater, Florida. And I'm literally on the edge of the storm, this hurricane. And I got to tell you, I dialed in this morning, even though I have no power, and I'm going to use up some of my battery, and that's okay, because God has let me know this morning that that is okay. And I am living in the freedom of doing the steps the way they're supposed to be done this time. And I'm finally letting go with both hands, and I just cannot tell you how incredible my life has been in the past week and a half. I'm on a day 102. In my step work, which has brought me to my amends. And I lived 16 years in Florida, and so a lot of my amends needed to be done down here. And I said to my sponsor, well, I'm coming down in December, can I just write them all out and I'll do them when I get down in December? She said, no, you can't move on until you've got your steps done. I mean, until you've got your amends done to the next step. And I said, okay, well, I've been resting in my laurels for the last 15 years. So you know what? Circumstances led me to Daytona, Florida, and now I'm sitting in a hurricane, and the worst of it is yet to come. The storm surge is right around the corner, and you know what? I have a peace and serenity inside me today that I woke with this morning, and I am okay. People around me are flooded, and I'm not. And I woke, and I said, thank you, God. That's the first thing. Every time I woke up in the middle of the night, I just thanked God. And then this morning when I said my prayers, I say, God, whose voice I hear in the winds and whose breath gives life to this world. And I said, God, I can hear you so loud. He's saving me, protecting me, loving me. And I'm just so at peace right now. And I know that when all this blows over, I can be of service. And I guess my self-sacrifice is going to be unfolding a lot here in the next few days. I'm right where I need to be. And, you know, my amends have been just with spending time with my ex-husband who's dying of lung cancer and his mom, and I can walk them through. And what a beautiful thing. I would have never in my wildest dreams ever thought that this would unfold this way. And so all I can say is thank you, God, and thank you to this meeting. And it's a comfort to me to listen to everybody's voices this morning and hear the recovery. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Oh, wow. Thank you,
Jane S. from New Hampshire, but in Florida. Glad to hear you're okay. Thank you. Glad to hear you're okay. All right, again, and a shout out and prayers to those in Florida, hoping that everyone's okay. All right, Tony B., you're up, followed by Kendall. Go ahead, Tony.
Thank you very much, moderator. My name's Tony B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater living in Scotland. Oh, it's good to be here on this meeting, and it's good to have a chance to share. We had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems this same readiness to change our point of view. So we had to change it, you know, as humans, as things developed, and, you know, we realized that advances were happening and this is the reality. And this readiness to change my point of view in this respect is, we're in step two here. So it's to do with my point of view that there is a higher power than me, that I'm not the be-all and end-all. My point of view, I think, before was that I had to manage my life. I had to, you know, push on, try my best. It wasn't much good, and all of these bedevilments came up for me. But I need to change. I need to change this point of view that perhaps there's some kind of God. Okay, perhaps he can help me with certain things, but I needed to change into there's a God that really loves me, really cares for me, and will really hear anything that I have to bring to him, and will really restore me to sanity if I pick up this basic solution. And that's the step. If I pick up this basic solution, and particularly in step 10, this works. You know, I have a disturbance. I look for my part in it. I ask God to remove it. I share it with somebody. And then I turn my thoughts to someone I can help. And that magic circle, it works every time. It relieves me of these human problems, which are constantly there for me. But I have a way of dealing with them. There's a solution. So that is indeed miraculous, coming to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. Because all of these things are insane, aren't they? Not controlling our emotional natures. I certainly used to feel quite insane when I was on an emotional bender, depression and misery. Why be depressed and miserable? You know, that's mad. We're here living on this beautiful earth, and God made us to be joyful and happy and free. It's insane, you know. I know there's lots of people wanting to share, so I'll share the time. It's just great to be here, and love you all. I pass.
Thank you so much, Tony B. from Scotland. It looks like we're going to have to end with Kendall. So, Joanne, Anita, I hope you guys will share on the second hour because we'd love to hear from you. All right, Kendall, you're up. Please go ahead.
Hi, can I be heard?
Mm-hmm. You can.
Hi, my name is awesome. Hi, my name is Kendall M. in New Jersey, recovering compulsive overeater. Glad to be on the meeting. Thanks, everybody, for their shares. I really identified, of course, as many have mentioned, with these bedevilments. My experience, as well as someone shared, with adding the word abstinent after each one of these, and that was very powerful for me, because some of these got worse for me in abstinence until I started working the steps. But, you know, like just putting the food down, for sure, personal relationships and my emotional nature, those got worse, because when I was in the food, it really numbed me out and gave me food was the solution, so I was able to deal with everything that was coming up and look like everything was fine. But once I put the food down, these things got worse. And I also, in abstinence, I had the experience of, you know, I realizing that I was a bit of an adrenaline junkie, liked waiting until the last minute to get work done. But without my food, I started to miss deadlines as a freelancer. And so I was starting to struggle to make a living in abstinence. So I really do identify with this idea, and I definitely had the experience that in abstinence, without working the steps in a relationship with my higher power, these bedevilments, most of them became worse. My experience is also that as an old timer in this program, another fellowship said that, you know, there's one set of steps and multiple fellowships. It led me to doing work in different places after putting the food down. But I can say that I'm really grateful that a lot of these have become not problems of the past, but now are ways that I can deal with them with the steps and with my higher power, whom I call God. And so I'm just really grateful to be on this meeting, and I hope everyone has a great day. Everyone stays safe, and with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Kendall M. from New Jersey. Joanne, we've got a minute. If you want to take the minute, you're welcome to it. Or we can wait. You can wait till the second hour. No? Anita, you want the last minute?
Yes, I'll take the minute. Thank you so much. It's Joanne P. from
Go
Pennsylvania.
Ahead, Joanne.
Yeah, so grateful. to be here today and to hear all of your shares on this amazing paragraph that really reminds me of where I was most of my life, not in the program. So grateful to be here by the grace of God and to know all of you. You just helped me so much, and I feel like God speaks to me through you, and I love the readiness to change our point of view. You know, as many times as I've read this paragraph, I started thinking about how much my point of view has changed me to be this. I'm just a different person than I was. I'm out of myself and into serving others and just living in recovery and with gratitude and love and appreciation for you. We are a WE program, and I went from desperation to willingness. Yeah, honesty and humility. I was so into myself. I just, was running. Yeah, I was living life with my self will instead of God's will. And today I am surrendered to, I try to surrender everything to God and trust His will in my life, because that's the only way we're going to get through the storm in Florida, right? Or my husband's cancer or my daughter's mental illness, one day at a time and with joy and some sort of peace and serenity that only we get from a higher power. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne. Okay. I'd like to thank everyone who shared. Please join us for a second awesome unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, October 10th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 21,820. That's 21820. We will now close the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Anne Marie M. please read a vision for you? Anne Marie, are you there? Anne Marie, are you there to read a vision for you?
Yes, I'm here now. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, yes.
Oh, okay, sorry about that. A book, Anne Marie, Compulsive Overeater in South Carolina. A book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. I'm done.